So, Father, we come before you again this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day today. And so, Lord, as we continue through the book of 2 Thessalonians, I ask, Father, that you would continue, Lord, to speak to each one of us. I pray, Lord God, that this morning, that you would fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, and that you'd empower me to simply teach the Bible simply. Lord, these things that we're going to cover today are yet to come. But, Lord, you had them written in your Bible for us to learn. And so, Lord, I pray we would learn these things. I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would take these things that we learned today and apply them to our life. Again, Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together corporately and to worship you, and as a part, to study your word. Father, thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to back up to verse 1 of chapter 2 to get a running start. I promise we're going to cover more than one verse. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." And we talked about this before. So the Apostle Paul planned this church in Thessalonica, and then he left. And he was only there 3 Sabbaths, which would have been about 3 weeks. Some suggest maybe 3 months. It's 3 weeks. So 3 weeks he's there. He taught them all about the end times. And so when he wrote 1 Thessalonians, his concern was the rapture of the church, that Jesus is going to come back for his church. This letter, 2 Thessalonians, is concerned with what's called the day of the Lord. It's that time period, the time of tribulation, the last 7 years of human history on earth. That's what he's concerned about. Now, what had happened was, since he had left, there had been some confusion. There had been some false teaching. In fact, not just by false teaching by word, but also there had been letters that they said came from Paul, and they really didn't come from Paul. And so Paul is writing this letter to clear all that up, to make things crystal clear as to what he taught them. And so verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, that for that day," in other words, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, "will come unless one comes falling away." We talked about this a few weeks ago. It's apostasy. So there's apostasy, departure from truth, departure from biblical truth. Let me ask you a question. If you look at our culture today, do you see a departure from biblical truth? You do. And as this day gets closer, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so then he says this, "And the man of sin is revealed," and this is where we covered last week, "the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition," or son of destruction, "and that man of sin is the Antichrist." How many of you guys have ever heard of the Antichrist? We talked a little bit about that last week. Just a quick, simple definition of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is an end times false messiah who seeks world domination so that he can destroy Israel and all the followers of Jesus Christ. Okay? Pretty simple definition of who this man is. Okay, this man is yet to come. Now listen, I understand there are many false Christs, many false teachers that have come on the scenes claiming all kinds of things. But they're all kind of a prelude, they're all kind of a preview to this ultimate man of sin, this man of destruction. And he's called the son of destruction because if you follow him, where does he lead? To destruction. He leads you to destruction. And we talked about the fact last week that the son of perdition is also used for Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. So Judas was one that, if you looked on the outside, looked like he was following Christ, but in reality, he betrayed him. And so this man of sin, this son of perdition, is going to look like the Messiah, but he's not. He's not. Now, let's keep moving here. So verse 4, "This man of sin, this son of perdition, this Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" So listen, this is why Paul says this, because in verse 2 he says, "I don't want you to be shaken in mind or troubled in spirit by word or by letter," because listen, don't you remember this? I taught you this. I taught you this. So don't let this false teaching, you know, shake you at all or disturb you or unsettle you. I taught you these things, remember? And listen, honestly, guys, as I have found as I've been pastoring, the best teaching is when you repeat. Because listen, hopefully as I'm teaching through the scripture on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, it is repeating what you're already learning on your own. in your own Bible reading, hopefully. Just an enhancement of what God's already speaking to you through his word, and not just through me to you. Now, let's talk about this. He is one who opposes. The idea of oppose there is to be hostile toward, to be an opponent of, to be an adversary. So this Antichrist is an adversary and exalts himself. The idea there is to lift, to rise in pride against. Okay? He's going to exalt himself, listen, above all that is called God. And listen, one thing I mentioned last week too, this is important. Antichrist. We think of anti, we think against. Anti here means instead of. It's instead of Christ, okay? And so he's going to oppose and exalt himself against God. Is that a good place to be? No, it's not. All or that is worshipped so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so I promise you this is going to be limited today. We're going to take a field trip, all right? So put your finger here in 2 Thessalonians and turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, right-hand turn. Revelation chapter 6. And listen, if you can't turn all the places, it's okay. Just listen. If you have questions, you can ask me afterward. I can give you all the cross references. So Revelation 6, okay? Now, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Good news. Revelation reveals that God wins in the end. Awesome. Okay? And so the book of Revelation from chapters 4 through 19 cover this tribulation period. We'll talk more about that in a moment, okay? And during this tribulation period, there is what's called the judgments of God. There's the seal judgments, and I don't mean a seal like an animal seal or art. That's not what I mean. I mean like a seal, like a scroll. There's the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl or vial judgments. And so the very first seal judgment we're going to hit today, and there's a reason. We'll explain that in a moment. So Revelation 6, verse 1 says this, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened." The Lamb is Jesus Christ. "So now when I saw Jesus Christ open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering to conquer." Now, how many of you guys have ever heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Okay, some of you have. So this first horse, the white horse, do you know who this first horse represents? He represents the Antichrist. How can you say that? Well, he's riding with a crown. He's riding with a bow. There's no arrows. So there's this threat of the ability to project force, but he's going to bring a false peace. He's going to bring a false peace. What does the Middle East need right now? It needs peace. And so everybody's been trying to bring peace to the Middle East, right? Well, you know who's going to bring a false peace to the Middle East? This Antichrist person. He's going to come on the scene. He's going to bring peace. He's a false Christ. He's a false Messiah. Now, look. If you read your Bible, you know that the Old Testament all prophesies about Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, coming to this earth. And he comes and he reveals himself to the nation of Israel, his brethren. Some receive, most reject. And to this day, Israel as a nation has rejected Jesus as their Messiah. So they're still waiting for a Messiah. And guess who's going to fill that void? The Antichrist is. Now, turn from Revelation 6. And we're going to make a big left-hand turn, to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And some of you who have read your Old Testament may be familiar with this passage. So Daniel chapter 9. So if you hit Ezekiel, turn right to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel's a prophet. Daniel was prophesying during the time through many nations. And so he has this vision that is given to him. So let's hit verse 20 of chapter 9 to give it context, and then we'll unpack this. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. "Now while I was speaking and praying," this is Daniel speaking, "and confessing my sin and the sin of my people." By the way, that's a good thing as a believer, isn't it? "Speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people in Israel, and presenting my supplication and his personal request before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel," okay, "who is an angel, whom I had seen in vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached about me in the time of every evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. By the way, as an aside, if you seek the Lord, if you pray, if you're in his word, God's going to speak to you. Daniel proves it right here, just as an aside. It says this in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city. Now, so let's break this down. What he's going to give is a prophecy about what's to come yet, okay? It's going to talk about the first coming of Christ and then the second coming of Christ, and it's going to have relevance to what we're going to talk about today about the Antichrist. So 70 weeks are determined. Weeks in the ancient Hebrew simply refers to unit of seven here, okay? So seven. So there's 69 seven-year periods is what he's saying. That's what he's saying here, all right? So 70 weeks are determined. So there's 70 weeks, 70 periods of 7 year, 70 seven-year periods. Easy for you to say. He says, for your people. Who are Daniel's people? They're the Jews. Okay, understand that. They're the Jews. And for your holy city. What is the holy city in I just said it, Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. I guess I'm spoiling it already. I'm so excited, so I got to slow down. He says this, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, those first three statements are covered under the first coming of Jesus Christ. When did the first coming of Jesus Christ happen? Oh, it happened 2,000 years ago. Now, what's interesting about this, guys, is if there is a gentleman by the name of Sir Robert Anderson, he used to work for Scotland Yard years ago, and he, using a 360-day calendar was what they used back then, determined that on March 14th, 445 BC, if you calculate the 69 seven-year periods from there, that's 483 years, and it's 173,880 days, takes you to April 6th, 32 AD. And you know what happened on April 6th, 32 AD? Jesus rode in on the donkey to Jerusalem to present himself as Messiah. So the first coming, he comes and presents himself. We celebrate that towards, it's Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. You can find that in the Gospels. And so these first three are fulfilled in that, okay? In that. The next three, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's covered in the second coming, okay? That hasn't happened yet. Jesus has not come back yet. Then it says this, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild the Jerusalem, which is what I told you, March 14th, 445 BC, that's found in Ezra chapter 6, until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 69 seven-year periods, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. What he's talking about there is Jesus was crucified. You remember, he rides in on the donkey on Palm Sunday. Then by the end of the week, what is he? He's hung on a cross for our sins. And then on the third day, then the following Sunday, he's raised again from the dead, the resurrection. It's our whole linchpin of our faith. So that's all covered, the first coming. Then he says this. This is interesting. He says, I'll read again, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come. Do you know who the prince who is to come? That's the Antichrist. The reason is because Jesus was cut off. His own people, majority of them, rejected him. Some believed. I mean, his apostles, what were they? Were Jewish. His first apostles were Jewish, so they believed. And yes, there were Jews who believed. There are even Jews today who believe. But as a whole of the nation, Israel rejects Jesus as their Messiah. Understand that. To this day, to this very day. Now, the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now listen to what he said. Listen to what it says. Then he shall confirm a covenant or a treaty or a peace agreement for 1 week. 1 week is 7 years. 7 years. Understand this Antichrist figure who's going to come on the scene, a real world leader, is going to bring peace in the Middle East. How? He's going to sign a peace agreement with Israel for 1 week, which is 7 years, the tribulation period. Have I lost anybody yet? Please don't tell me if I did. Let's keep going. The rest of verse 27, but in the middle of the week, that is 3.5 years into this peace agreement, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering On the wing of the abomination shall one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So what's he saying here? What's going to happen is, somehow, as part of this peace agreement, a third temple is going to be built in Israel. Is there a third temple there today? No, but understand something. If you're not paying attention, they have everything. They're ready to go. They want to build a third temple. Now, there's arguments exactly where the temple should be built. Some think they can build it right next to the Dome of the Rock. Some suggest there's going to be some kind of event where the Dome of the Rock is going to be destroyed and they're going to build over that whole area. I don't know. None of us know. If somebody tells you, they don't know, okay? Let's just end it there. But somehow, a third temple is going to be rebuilt. And what did Israel do in the temple, the two other temples previous? They sacrificed animals, right? And so they're going to start temple sacrifice again. And so this world leader somehow is going to be able to have this happen. And then halfway through this peace agreement, he's literally going to walk into the temple of God and say, stop, you need to worship me now as God. That's what's going to happen. So when we read in 2 Thessalonians, he opposes and exalts himself against everything that's God and is worshipped of God. That's what he's talking about. And see, in the scripture, there's a fancy term that describes this, and we'll turn there in Matthew in a second. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist comes into the new rebuilt temple and says, stop. Stop worshiping. You need to worship me now. I'm God. That's what happens. Now, I just spoke of it. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And yet, this is all. Has this happened yet? Has anybody seen this yet? It hasn't happened yet. It's yet to come. It's coming at some point. Do I know exactly when? No. And if somebody tells you know the exactly when, don't listen to them because they don't. At some point, but listen, we see the signs, guys. We see the apostasy, don't we? We see it getting greater and greater. There's departure from truth. We see it. We see all of these things coming into place, all the puzzle pieces coming together. I got to slow myself down. I don't want to say so much here. But Matthew 24, this is what's considered the Olivet Discourse. And we'll back up to verse 3 of Matthew 24. And so now as he sat, that's Jesus, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, Paul said the same thing, didn't he? Don't let anybody deceive you. Why? That means be deceived. Remember last time we talked about this? One way to be deceived is to be in the Word of God. One way to not be deceived. So you see somebody who is raised up of some kind or whatever, whatever it is. It could be a church that you see on TV or whatever and is teaching false doctrine. If you know the scripture, you'll say, that's false. I'm not listening to that person. Okay? Then he goes on and says, and many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Have we seen that? There are so many things that have been done in the name of Christ that have been wicked and wrong. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Do we hear wars and rumors of wars? Yeah, we do all the time. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but in the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences. What was COVID-19? It was a pestilence. And the earthquake in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, and will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel, by the way, who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. And who were the disciples? They were Jews. This is referencing to the nation of Israel. Because, spoiler alert, we're not going to be here. If you're part of the body of Christ, the rapture has already taken place and we're out of here. Mass evacuation. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now listen, here's the payoff. So you read all those verses? Yes, to get to verse 15. Here it is. Ready? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken above by Daniel the prophet, we just read it, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Understand that the Antichrist is going to come into that third temple that's rebuilt and declare himself God. And that's what Jesus is talking about right now. And he's telling them, the Jews, if you see that, run for the mountains, run for Judea, because trouble is coming. Listen, When you read through the book of Revelation, when you hit Revelation 6 through 19, let me just tell you, if you want to really know what it's like when judgment is poured out on Christ-rejecting earth, I encourage you to read that. All kinds of things are going to be happening. Literally, all hell is going to be breaking loose. You think it's challenging now to understand things. Wait till that time comes. One more place I want us to turn before we get back to 2 Thessalonians. Turn back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Some of you maybe have never even heard any of this before. It's okay. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up from the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now, when he says in the sea, okay, what he's speaking of there is Gentile nations, because the apostle John is seeing a vision. And so when he sees this beast rising from the Mediterranean Sea is the Gentile nations. Because this beast, look, has 7 heads. That is, 7 empires or kingdoms. And he has 10 horns. Okay, 10 rulers. And then he has 10 crowns. All right? And these 10 rulers and these 10 crowns are 10 nations that are going to be in confederacy at the end times. And from these 10 nations, we talked about this last week in Daniel chapter 7, it says that one is going to rise up, and that's the Antichrist from these 10 nations. Now the beast, which I saw like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And again, this is very descriptive language, and you'll find it also in the book of Daniel as well. And for sake of time, we're not going to turn there. I mean, literally, guys, I could take this and the rest of the afternoon and teach all this stuff, but I'm not going to do that to you, because I don't want to lose you all. Maybe I've already have. Who knows? Anyway, now the beast which I saw, verse 2, like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him, the dragon is Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And you need to remember that. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Listen to what it says in verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So listen, when you worship the Antichrist, who are you really worshiping? You're worshiping Satan. Remember, I talked about this last week. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. You know how there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Satan says there's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And we'll talk about him in a moment. A false Holy Spirit, if you will. So they worshiped, verse 4, the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, like, you would almost say, we would say it like, who is like God? Who's able to stop him? Who's more powerful than God? That's what we would say. But people worshiping the beast are going to say, who is like this beast? Who is like him? Nobody is. Verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to the blasphemy his name, his tabernacle. That's the place where God dwells, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And all authority was given to him over every tribe and tongue and nation and all who dwell on the earth. Now listen, for those of you who've never read through Revelation, when that term all who dwell on the earth or earth dwellers, that term means unbelievers. It means unbelievers. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. In other words, do you hear what I'm saying to you right now? Do you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying right now through his word to you? You need to pay attention to what he's saying. Verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience or the perseverance of the faith of the saints. We're going to read the whole chapter. Then the last of verses 11 through 18 talk about this other figure named the false prophet. And in a simple way to say it, he's like a false Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question as Christians. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? Yes, but what is the main job of the Holy Spirit? Who is he supposed to point to? Jesus Christ. This false prophet, guess who he's going to point to? The Antichrist. He's going to point to the Antichrist. And no, I don't know who the false prophet is, okay? I don't know who the Antichrist is. Guess what? I don't care. I won't be here, okay? I'm looking at Jesus Christ. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the Antichrist or false prophet, all right? Verse 11, let's keep reading. I'll tie this all together, I promise. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 10 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performed great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth, again, unbelievers, by those signs which was granted to do this in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to an image. Listen to this. And of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. We don't know what that image is. But look what's happening with artificial intelligence now. Look at that kind of technology. Could you make an image animate and speak? Yeah, you can now. You can. I'm not saying that, okay. Not saying all artificial intelligence is evil and it's the Antichrist or false prophet. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the technology has now come that you could use technology in some way to create an image that seems animated and alive. That's what I'm saying. Verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, listen to what he says, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their forehead. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard of the mark of the beast? This is what it's talking about. Now, let me clear something up. In order to have a mark of the beast, you have to have a beast first. Is there a beast? Has a beast been revealed to us? No. Is the technology in place? Yes. Think of it like this. During COVID, in order to go to certain places, what did you have to show them? Your vaccination card. There's even, I remember seeing an article back in the mid-2000s, there were clubs in London, nightclubs, that were doing this thing where you could get a microchip in your hand, and so this microchip, then you'd be able to scan it, and so you could have like a bar tab when you went to this nightclub, okay? How many of you guys have dogs? How many guys are chipped? Your dogs are chipped. Listen, do you guys remember after 9/11 that they talked about the fact that we need to have one national security card that had all our information on, one card? It went from your own privacy to now, hey, and listen, I hate to tell you this, but our government is spying on everybody. If you have a cell phone, they're recording your conversations. I'm not trying to be weird or conspiracy, but you ever like be talking to somebody, hey, I need a new fishing pole, and then you go on your phone and all of a sudden you get these ads for fishing poles? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. My phone's turned off by now, by the way. Listen, I know this sounds crazy and stuff, but honestly, look, this stuff can be used. This technology can be used. And so to buy and sell, because remember, you couldn't even go in some places to go to a restaurant without being marked, right, by this vaccine. So what's to say that they couldn't take the technology? By the way, our government is pushing out what's called digital currency. You guys ever hear of digital currency? Okay, do you know what they can do with digital currency? Similar to what they do in China now, they can program the currency. So what that means is if we all go to digital currency and I have a certain amount of money in my account, and let's say Chris wants to buy a cheeseburger this week, okay? If they have control of digital currency, when Chris wants to buy a cheeseburger at the end of the week, no, you can't. We're not letting you. We're not letting you draw those funds from the bank. That's what's happening. Understand that this is happening before our eyes. I'm not telling you it's the mark or anything like that. I'm not saying that right now. But honestly, the technology is being put in place. And see, we need to be paying attention to this. Here's one way we can help with this. Well, we can pray, first of all, and you can vote for political candidates who actually understand what's going on. I will tell you, this is not an endorsement. I'm just going to tell you this. The governor of Florida just signed a bill in Florida that blocks all of that in his state. Okay? You need to understand, pay attention. We are living in these times right now. This is happening before our eyes. Now, it also doesn't mean that we give up, we quit, there's nothing we can do. That's not what that means. What that means is we need to pray, and we need to all the more share the gospel with people that we know, people that we love, people that we work with. We need to tell them the truth. It doesn't mean that I have to get into all of this kind of stuff, because let me tell you something, if you just out of the blue say, do you know the Antichrist is coming? They'll probably be like, what are you talking about? But listen, if they give you the opportunity, take it. Take it. You need to tell them, ultimately, look, all this stuff, Jesus Christ died for us. He is the Christ, not the Antichrist. He is the Christ. But if you reject him, you're going to fall for anything. You're going to fall for anything. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now listen, we don't even know what that is. Is it a microchip? Is it a tattoo? I have no idea. I don't plan on being here to figure it out. Okay? Nobody knows for sure, but understand, I need to emphasize this, please. There are people in the body of Christ who will tell you that those vaccines that we had were the mark of the beast. They're not. Okay? Because you have to have a beast first, then there's a mark of the beast. No beast has been revealed, has it? And if the beast has been revealed, uh-oh. What are we still doing here? Verse 18. Listen to what he says in verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Okay, so listen. If you're going to pay for something and it comes up $6.66, that's not the mark of the beast, so don't worry. But honestly, I'm saying this because why? Because we, for a long time in the body of Christ, people don't have a whole lot of things to do, I don't know how, but they write these books, and they say, this is the Antichrist, this is his thing, this is this. And so what that has done is, in the church, it has made us go away from biblical prophecy. That's what it's done. It's made people afraid to talk about these things. And so look, I challenge you, go look, listen to a church around this area if they've talked about this stuff in the last couple years. Most of them have not. Now, we just happen to be here as we go through the scripture, okay? But understand, you have to have an understanding of these things, okay? It doesn't mean you have to know every single thing. And listen, I've taught this so many times, and I even had to sit down this morning and like write it down and go, okay, let me think about this again, all right? And one of the reasons why people don't understand the book of Revelation is because there's so many allusions to their Old Testament and they don't know their Old Testament. If you want to understand the book of Revelation, read the book of Daniel. Read the book of Ezekiel. Okay? Back to 2 Thessalonians. So now, giving you all of that picture, let's read verse 4 again. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and then is worshipped, so that as he sits as God in the temple of God. So the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, is going to come into this temple and he's going to sit and say, you need to worship me. And as you worship the beast, as you worship the Antichrist, guess who you're worshiping? You're worshiping Satan. And that's always what he's wanted from the beginning. We talked about this last week. We went back to the origins of how Satan was an angel created by God to worship in heaven. And then he began to find, they began to find his heart and be worshipped instead of God. And he says, himself, he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? See, why would Paul tell them this? Paul would tell them this so that when they begin to see this, they understand the times they're living in. Listen, I understand for years, Christians have been saying that Jesus is going to come back, the rapture is going to happen. I understand all of that stuff. But listen, there are things happening today that have never happened in human history. Like one, the nation of Israel is a nation again. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah where he says, can a people become a nation in one day? And the answer is yes. In May 1948, Israel became a nation again. Israel is God's timepiece. Israel, the Jews, are still God's chosen people, but we are his church. Now listen, as his church, that means there are Jews that can be made of a church. When you ask a Jew who's saved today, they don't call themselves a Christian. They call themselves a fulfilled Jew or a completed Jew because they believe that Jesus was their Messiah. So they're part of the church. And so when the rapture happens, we're out of here. And who's left? All the unbelieving Jews are still waiting for this Messiah to come. Well, really, it's Jesus Christ. In fact, in the Bible, in the book of Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, it says that when Christ comes back, they're going to look at him and say, look on him whom they've pierced. They're going to realize it was Jesus all along. And listen, in our life, we search for all kinds of things. We use all kinds of things to bring peace to our life, to help us, etc. And yet, all along, all we needed was a relationship with Christ. That's the point. Jesus is the only one that can give you true peace. He's the only one. You know, we talked about this on last Wednesday night in the Psalms. You know, the depth, the thoughts and the hearts of man can be very dark and very deep. God is the only one that can reach into there and change that completely. See, when God works in your life, he doesn't work outside in, he works inside out. Because an inside-out change means it's going to last. It's going to be eternal. An outside-in change, look, I can do all kinds of things. I can try all kinds of stuff on the outside, but it never changes the inside. You follow me? So, he goes on. I promise we go a little further. I promise. Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So let's talk about this. What is he talking about? So something or someone is restraining this Antichrist from revealing himself. Okay? Now, when you read these verses, there's some confusion. Is he talking about a government? Is he talking about, now some Bible teachers who don't believe in a future, this is pointing to the future, will say, well, this was the Roman government at the time, okay? And they'll say, like, somebody like Nero, who was one of the emperors of Rome, was the one who fulfilled this. No, not really. That's not true, okay? So maybe, and some even suggest today that it's human government that's holding this Antichrist back, okay? But listen, here's what I think. This is my opinion, all right? Because what that word for restrains and restraining means, it means to prevent, to hinder, to keep from. See, what I believe that is holding back this Antichrist from being revealed is the Holy Spirit. Now, where is the Holy Spirit found the most, for lack of a better way to put it? The church. Who is inside of you right now?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. See, when you give your life to Christ, when you surrender your life to Christ, when you open your heart by faith and trust in what he's done, you are, what does it say? The Bible says you're born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. So right now, if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you right now. So if the Holy Spirit's inside of the church, what are we supposed to be doing as the church? We're supposed to be sharing the gospel. Now, let me read something to you about this, okay? It is the indwelling Spirit that believers, listen, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt is a preservative, but it also hinders the spread of corruption. By the way, if we are not here, what is this world going to look like? You think it's bad now. Look at the demonic stuff going on now. Imagine if the representation of the church is removed. What do you think it's going to look like? Light dispels darkness, does it not? The sphere in which men love to perform their evil deeds. When the Holy Spirit leaves the world as a permanent indweller of the church and of individual believers, the restraint of the lawless will be gone. There'll be no restraint. You think things are crazy now? It's like this. Imagine if across the nation we had no police. I mean, some places, that's kind of how it is now. But imagine we had no police. You're seeing it now. You're seeing pockets. Remember when it said defund the police, and now people are reaping what they sowed? Like, honestly, I just saw a story in Philadelphia, of all places. In broad daylight, people are being murdered in broad daylight now, and nobody's doing anything about it. There's a ministry called the Rock Ministries down in Kensington. Kensington has always been a war zone for heroin addiction, prostitution, shootings. It's gotten even worse now. Because why? Because what happened? Well, the police were defunded. Why would you want to sign up to be a police officer right now? Honestly, because it's always your fault. Listen, I know they're corrupt police. Don't get me wrong. I know they're corrupt police out there. I do, okay? I do. I get it. But the majority of the police are not corrupt. They're just trying to do their job. I can't imagine having a job like that, coming into a situation, trying to break up domestic disputes or other things, okay? I understand that. But listen, when the Holy Spirit is removed, when the church is removed, all restraint is going to be gone. Notice what he says here. He says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And see, when he's taken out of the way, see, lawless means without law. There's no law. Can you imagine if there was no law whatsoever? Why are laws in place? To keep us in order. Now, verse 8, and when the lawless one will be revealed. Who is the lawless one? That's the Antichrist. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will... Listen to this, okay? So listen, There's this misunderstanding in the world today that Satan and God are on the same level. Are they? They're not. Okay? God created Lucifer, who became Satan. So they're not on the same level. So listen to what it says here. When the lawless one is revealed, that is when the Antichrist is revealed, whom the Lord, listen, will consume, that is to use up in a bad sense, to destroy, listen, with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That word for brightness, you get the word epiphany from. It's shining forth. It's an appearance. So the literal appearance of God is going to destroy this Antichrist. If you read the book of Revelation, wow, is it anticlimactic. All this time spent for this Antichrist coming to power, and at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back, all the armies are gathered together of the world, the Valley of Megiddo in Israel, and they're against the Antichrist. Jesus is going to come back, open his mouth, and they're all going to be wiped out. And the Antichrist will be taken and thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell, just like that. So do we serve a powerful God? We do. So why do we fret about some of these things? Seriously. We know. I mean, listen to this verse. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with his brightness of his coming. Wow. Think about that. Verse 9. One more verse. I promise. Casey, we made some headway. We had five like verses here. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working, of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, we talked about this in Revelation 13, right? It says that Satan's going to give his power to this Antichrist. Satan's going to give his power to the false prophet. And it says, with all power. That word is dunamis. It means strength, power, ability, and signs. That is a sign, a mark, a token. What does a sign do? A sign points to something. If you guys have read the Gospel of John, there are seven signs in the Gospel of John when John wrote that. Why? Because they all point to who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God in human flesh. So these signs are going to be a lying sign to point to that Antichrist is the Messiah. And it says, and lying wonders. Lying, a lie, a falsehood, a deception. Lying wonders. That is, literally, that word for wonders is something strange. In other words, it's a miracle. They're going to be deceiving miracles. Remember how when we read through Revelation, it said that the beast was wounded? Remember that? And then he's okay? Some Bible commentators suggest there's going to be a false resurrection to confirm that he is this Messiah. Now, okay, if the truth is gone, if you don't have truth, what do you have left? You have the lie. If you don't believe the truth, you're going to believe anything. So, absent of Christ, we see this in our culture today. You believe all kinds of crazy stuff now, don't you? You believe crazy stuff about who you are. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know if I'm a boy. I don't know if I'm a girl. I don't know what marriage is. I don't know what a baby, or if that's really human life. It's just a lump of cells. All those things. If you remove truth from there, that's what you get. And so all of this is leading to this pinnacle, to this climax in this figure of the Antichrist. That's what's going to happen. Now, we're going to stop here today because I'm out of breath. And we need to. And I don't want to go any further to confuse anybody more or anything. But listen. We see these things on the horizon. And as I said, I'm not telling you this so you get scared. I'm not telling you this so you go in the woods, get your bunker ready, and let's go for it. That's not why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this, number one, because as a good pastor, I want to teach through the whole counsel of God. So this is where we are in the scripture. Okay, it just happens to be there. But two, I'm telling you this too, because you understand the times we're living in. Remember how many times Jesus would tell the people in the Gospels, understand the sign of the times you're living in. Because here, the reason the Bible was written the way it was is so that we believe at any moment that Christ would come back for his church. And so why? Because that's supposed to comfort us. It's supposed to encourage us, but also it's supposed to help us live holy lives. See, one of the problems we have in the church today is we want to share the gospel with people, but we can't because we're compromised in our own life. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but it means we're compromised. See, God wants to use us. He has chosen us as his vessels to be used to reach this world. You know, and it all the more, you know, when you serve the Lord, man, things come at you and all kinds of stuff. But understand something. The beauty of serving the Lord is this. You grow closer to him. That's why he wants us to serve him. That's why he wants us to fulfill the call he's put on our life. I don't know what the calling of God has on your life. And listen, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a pastor or you're going to be a missionary. It could mean that you're going to be the most godly lawyer, the most godly doctor, whatever. But see, the problem we get into is we compromise in our life. We compromise in our life. We got to stop compromising. The times are short. They absolutely are. Listen, being a dad myself, it's hard enough trying to live righteously before my kids. And listen, the kids get to be the age where they have their own thoughts and their own minds. And it's like, okay, I did my job. I lived the way I was supposed to live for the Lord. It's up to them now. Because listen, there's some people I know who had terrible parents, who were awful people, and yet they still walk with the Lord. Remember Noah? The generation Noah grew up in where he built the ark, where everyone thought he was crazy. It was the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. And everybody, for 120 years, he's building that ark. And you can imagine all kinds of things people are saying. There's that fool, Noah. And yet Noah's like, God told me I need to build this ark. And I'm sure when he told people, you need to come because you're going to get saved. Rain's coming. What's rain? It hadn't rained before. 120 years go by and then finally it happens. You can hear the screams then of the people as the flood comes. See, we have the gospel. Judgment is coming. See, I want to see the people I know, whoever they are, that they're saved. So go share the gospel. Go live it out before them. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scripture. Father, it is a blessing to study your word. And Lord, again, I pray for today that if anyone's confused, Holy Spirit, make them not confused. And I pray, Lord, if there's anything that they get from this, is that, Lord, we are to be your church. We are to show the love of Christ, and we are to share the gospel with all those around us. And Lord, I do pray for any one of us here this morning who may be in compromise. I pray that today would be the day that we would confess our sin before you, because you say, Lord, that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would we stop dabbling in darkness, stop playing with things, and Lord, would we get right with you? God, you want to use each person in this room. You have a gift for each person, at least one gift. Would they use it for your glory? God, thank you for these things. Thank you. You told us these things ahead of time so we are prepared. All in the name of Jesus Christ.